This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Meera Sivasodhi. It's our Healthy Living segment, and today we're going to be talking about flood tips, medicine preparations and all of that. I mean, there's news every day on, you know, about floods in various areas. So joining us to help us go through this whole idea of how to be ready or prepared for floods when it comes to your medications. We do know the year-end monsoon season is a regular occurrence in Malaysia, and it brings up a whole lot of other problems. We always think of waterborne diseases. We always think about property destruction, but you know, how do you manage all of that on a health perspective? Hege Jeevan Kurnas, he's a senior assistant director of the Pharmaceutical Services Program from Ministry of Health Malaysia, in the studio with me. Welcome to the show, Jeevan. How are you?
I'm good. It's nice to be here.
Why do we always, you know, we know that flooding happens every year. I mean, we're into the monsoon season. It sometimes can go up to February.
Yes.
It's something that cannot be avoided. It's geography, it's the weather. What have you learned through your experience at the Ministry of Health?
What I can say is that these kind of things, they are predictable, but for a specific reason for why they are happening. One thing, we have to blame our monsoon season. A lot of people will blame it on possibly global warming, rising in water levels, therefore increasing incidence of floods. And sometimes, like you said, sometimes it lasts until February.
Yep.
Dr. Wan Azizah has actually said it might until March, you know, in a statement, I think, 15th of November, when she said that, what she called this, that she's preparing the flood relief centres. So she said it might last until March. We're not so sure about these things. Some might blame it on improper drainage system, but I can tell you one thing, we are doing our very best, especially at the Ministry of Health level, to prepare for anything that might happen.
Okay. And on your end, from the Pharmaceutical Services Program, what do you actually do every year? And I'm sure you prepare for this all the time.
Okay. So we have what you call this, a plan. Okay. We have a plan. Health workers, specifically on my part, the Pharmaceutical Services Division, we have medical teams, stationary and mobile medical teams, to actually help with the flood relief centers and also the flood victims in all affected areas. Okay. And in terms of the Ministry of Health's perspective, we will try to aid and help people who are suffering from, who are victims of floods, which have waterborne diseases, people who are suffering from drowning, burns, that everything that might happen during floods. So from the perspective of the Ministry of Health, this is what we do. We are always ready. But of course, we always hope for the best.
Yeah.
We always hope for nothing to happen.
So the action plan is always there.
Yes, action plan has been there.
It's like all you need to do is, you know, instruct, and it runs, because you do this all the time.
Yes, exactly. And ever since the 2014 flood, the major flood in Kuala Krai, Kelantan, Kelantan districts, we have come up with an even more in-depth, sophisticated action plan. Which was the first edition was in 2016. It's called, if I'm not mistaken, it is called Pelan Pengurusan Krisis dan Bencana Bagi Perkhidmatan Farmasi Only, but it of course encompasses the rest of the Ministry of Health.
Yeah, because so, in 2014, I remember, I mean, we had a whole load of food coming in and everything, but there was no access to these areas, and a lot of that just was lying all over the place. So I'm sure you've looked into access as well. How do you get into these areas in the event that the floods are really bad? You can't go by road or any other mode of transportation.
Yes. On the 15th of November, like I said, Dr. Wan Azizah said not only are the flood relief centres very well equipped with all the necessary items and all that, she's also said that they have air transport.
Yep.
They also have four-wheel drives to actually go to flood areas. They also have prepared boats, vessels to actually bring people to areas to what you call these flood relief centres, even though the routes are cut off.
Yep.
So
based on your experience, what are some of the common problems that people with chronic diseases have? How do you prepare for that?
Okay, so the thing is, chronic diseases, patients with chronic diseases, they will always have to be on their medications all the time. So the thing is, when these patients who are in flood-prone areas, when their places are hit with flood, okay, number one is that when they move, they tend to forget to bring their medicines because under stress and duress, they forget about their medicines. So their main concern is, our main concern is that these patients will somehow come non-compliant to the medicines, and they will result to non-controlled diseases. Their disease progression will get worse, and this will affect their quality of life. And already you're moving to a flood relief center.
Absolutely. Yes. Could you give me some examples?
Okay, like for example, patients with diabetes and hypertension. So they have to take the medications daily, on a daily dosing basis. So let's just say that under like a stress and duress, the water comes in the middle of the night. They'll have to, immediately evacuate. And they bring all the essential items, but they forget their medicines. And then when they go to the flood relief centers, they will have to continue taking their dosage. Otherwise, their sugar readings will go up.
So how do you come in there?
Okay, so the thing is, every flood relief center, we have a medical team. Medical team are two types. One is the mobile unit and one is the station. One is the stationary unit. The stationary units are normally placed in these flood relief centers. They have a list of medications and available medications to actually help all the flood relief victims that come in. And even in the list of medications, we do cover for chronic diseases as well. Besides acute diseases, we do cover chronic diseases, which has diabetes, hypertension, as well as acute diseases, where we cover with antibiotics, you know, cough, flu, asthmatic medications also that are regarding the chronic diseases.
Okay. So you get them all stocked up well in advance.
Yes, but the thing is, regarding stocked up well in advance, the thing is we only can carry so much with
us. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So that is why it's very important for the patient to actually bring their chronic medications with them. It is actually part of an essential item for them to bring it with them wherever they go when they move to flood relief centers, because we do not know how many patients, chronic patients, are going to be there. We do not know how many of them will have forgotten their medications and even their prescriptions. So we only can do so much to try to help them. And the thing is, we have very limited amount of medicine that we can carry with us. So we'll have to go back to the main health facility, through boat or whatever route that is accessible, take more medicines and come back. And by that time, we do not know how long would it have been before the patients have gotten their medicines.
Can you share some stories with us where things have gone wrong?
Back in Kelantan, when our patients actually... Their medicine, they are kept in like lower areas of the house. So when the flood comes in, it takes away everything,
right.
medical records, the prescriptions, the health records, the medicines as well. And then when they go to the flood relief centers, they do not remember their medicine names. They do not remember what they have. These are specifically like patients, like old patients, geriatric patients who do not know what they're having. So it's very hard for people there to diagnose what they have. To go through what they have. And the thing is, these days, patients recognize although most patients nowadays are educated, they recognize their medicines based on the name of their medicines and all that. But certain patients, they don't recognize the medicines like based on the chemical entity or even the brand name. They recognize based on shape and sizes and some even prices. How is a medical officer or a pharmacist supposed to identify that in a flood relief center filled with people and other patients as well?
Yeah. Because you got many families as well as the generics, got many, many types dosages. Dosages, especially 50 mg, 120 mg, which one were you on, you know,
exactly.
You don't even know.
Yes.
But what about, besides chronic diseases, things like waterborne diseases? Mm-hmm. I think typhoid is one, leptospirosis is the other. Is that very common during a flood situation?
Yes. The thing is, during a flooding season, a lot of diseases become very common. A lot of diseases become very common. Like you said, leptospirosis is a rodent-borne disease. So we also have vector-borne diseases, which is like malaria and dengue.
Mm-hmm.
We also, like you said, we have typhoid, we have paratyphoid. But the most common one is tetanus. The thing is tetanus, because the thing is most of these actually diseases, one rodent and vector-borne disease as usual, mosquito and also rodents because of the fecal matter. But the thing is something like tetanus, because it is always transferred through the fecal oral route, it'll get washed up in the flood. So people who are actually exposed to flood water have high incidence of diseases. They also have high incidence of skin diseases. And if you do have patients with, for example, diabetic patients with foot ulcers, if they get exposed to this kind of water, it's a major complication.
Like double whammy.
Yes.
Oh dear. How do you manage all of that?
That's the job of the Ministry of Health to assess and treat.
I mean, my thinking is you're probably a professional at this because, I mean, when have we not had the monsoon season?
Yeah, I mean, yes, definitely, for sure.
I'm thinking you should be able to do this with your eyes closed.
It's not that easy.
Literally.
Health aspect, it is not that easy. It's never easy, but we do our best. We try
only our because best. You know what to anticipate.
Yes,
more or less.
Yeah,
right?
More or less, we do know what to anticipate. We have plenty of guidelines. You know, a lot of countries go through the similar things. We have adopted those guidelines, made our own guidelines based on current and local situations. So we know what to expect. We know what diseases to expect. We know how to treat them. And we have the health personnel to treat them. We have mobilized about 70,000 people, including health personnel, to help in flood relief centers.
During a certain time of the year? Or
yes, normally it's from November until January. But nowadays we are dragging it until March.
But that would mean compromising in some other area in terms of personnel.
No, in terms of personnel, no. We have to ensure that all other states, all other places that are not affected by floods must operate at optimum levels. At the same time, we must have a surge capacity to incorporate or to help other people who are affected by these types of bencana alarms.
Yep. You know? And yeah. Bencana alarms can happen anytime.
Yes.
Not just during November.
Yes,
in that period.
Okay.
Interesting. We're discussing flood tips, your medicine preparation if you are involved or you know family members who struggle. In the studio with me, Hager Jeevan Karnas. He's a Senior Assistant Director, Pharmaceutical Services Program from the Ministry of Health. If you have a question for him, text us on 018-789-8899 or you can even tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up next, we'll find out more about precautions, the first aid kit, emergency kit for floods. I think even we shouldn't underestimate the power of that first aid kit, isn't it? We see flooding in Subang Jaya now. We see flooding in Sunway. Who knows, you know, tomorrow whether that first aid kit will come into play. So if you have a question, once again, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Good afternoon and welcome to Health and Living. I am Meera Sivasodhi, Hager Jeevan Karnas, Senior Assistant Director at the Pharmaceutical Services Program, Ministry of Health Malaysia, in the studio with me, helping us understand flood tips, the medicine preparation. You know, a lot of us in the East Coast of Malaysia in particular going through flood times. I mean, we know it happens every year and sometimes it's almost like a celebration in that part of the year, isn't it, Jeevan? We read the horror stories, but it's almost like a festival, like when you know it floods. We're trying to change that mindset that it's not really a festival because of the things that can go wrong as a result. Do you find that that's generally the sentiment over there?
I mean, based on what I can see, people resent floods. I mean, because of the major displacement that they go through, the major problems that they face, the stresses of losing and damaged property. So I don't think it's something that to be celebrated. But,
it's the water thing, right?
Yes, it's the water thing.
Culturally, I've heard that, you know, it's something that, you know, children love and, you know, but it gets out of hand.
Yes.
When it gets out of hand is when, you know, everything else that can go wrong as a result.
Yes.
We were talking about a first aid kit. I mean, if you could recommend a first aid kit for people with chronic diseases, for an example, those in these flood-prone areas in the East Coast of Malaysia to help them prepare for it. Mm-hmm. What would you recommend in that first aid kit?
Okay, so in terms of chronic diseases specifically, I would ask that family members and also patients with chronic diseases make sure that first aid kit, whether it is in or not, your chronic diseases medicines are inside there along with your prescription and your health records. That's number one. Always.
Given that you know it's the monsoon season.
Yes, in the monsoon season, that has to be there. But in other ways, I mean, other things that we must ensure that the usual things, like let's just say you have an injury, you have a bandage, you have an iodine swab, you have an active flavin lotion, you know, those kind of antiseptic disinfectants. You have hand sanitizers, you know, just in case. Because the thing is, when floods happen, we have a breakage of the sewage system. You know, it might get into the water system. And when that happens, water is not safe anymore. So it's important that every time you handle water, you must wash your hands properly. And if, let's just say, there's no proper water to wash your hands with, there must be hand sanitizers because you'll be handling food. And in case you're handling patients, you know, with wounds and all that, you need to have those kind of things if your parents have if your mom or your dad has
dressing to be done.
You know, you need those kind of disinfectants. It's very important, actually. So those are the things that first that you should have in your first aid kit. Other than that, the rest is normal. You can get a pretty basic first aid kit wherever you go, wherever you want to buy. But those essential medications must be inside there.
But how do you make sure that the medicines, the supply is sufficient during, you know, those times? I mean, you can never tell, right? You really have no idea.
Yes, exactly. The thing is, you know, we might be in under 1 month supply. And 1 week before running out of supply, suddenly it's heavy rainfall and then floods. And then patients are running out of medicines and they can't get to their facilities because the routes are cut off. So there are ways to actually overcome the situation, because the Ministry of Health has made it easy for patients to actually obtain the supplies, especially in flood-prone areas. The facilities, the health facilities, the clinics and the hospital, the patients actually go and request for a follow-up date with the doctor that is only after the monsoon season is over.
And that can be a long time.
That can be a long time. And once they do that, the pharmacy departments, will actually supply the patients with that much of medicines. And even if they don't, you can always request that I'm in a flood-prone area, so I need those medications that can last me during the duration of the floods, or if there might be any floods at all, and that can happen as well. There's also ways where, if let's just say you are moved to a flood relief center, and you are due to take your medicines on that particular time, you can always pass your prescription to the pharmacist or the assistant pharmacist that will be at this flood relief centers. They will go by boat to the nearest health facility and get for you your medicines according to your prescription. And in the case where you have lost your prescription, you can always ask the doctor, medical officer that is present at the health facility, or a medical officer is present in the nearest clinic. It might not be the clinic that you're going to, but the nearest clinic to actually, government clinics, to actually help you write a new prescription. In that prescription, we have actually a way to write it. We will normally write a flood victim or mangsa banjir, and we will give a maximum amount of medicines for 1 month. You know, so these are all the types of actually procedures and actions that we can take to ensure that patients who do not have access to their medicines or have lost their medicines, or their medicine have been destroyed by the flood, actually have continuous supply of medicines throughout.
But that will take some time, wouldn't you say?
Take some time.
To get these supplies to them through that process.
Let's just say if before the monsoon season, they go and request for new medicines and all, we'll give on the spot. That's the number one. But let's just say, if during the flooding time...
Yep, you've lost it.
You've lost it and then you are now in the flood relief center. The flood relief center. The medical team can actually go to the nearby hospitals and get it for you. But of course, it actually depends on the routes. How far is the nearest clinic? Yes, it may take time, but it may not take time at all. I can't really say at that point of time.
Okay. We have a question here from Easy. She says, my 13-year-old daughter is a type 1 diabetic patient. Mm-hmm. And we have trained her to have her own medical ways of carrying insulin around and mm-hmm. how to actually administer that. Mm-hmm. So she's asking, why can't MOH have a basic education program for those patients with chronic diseases to be always prepared? And do you educate your patients?
All right. So the thing is, it's a continuous effort. We are educating every chance that we get. Even I'm here right now, actually, just to...
Trying to
educate the patients and all that. But of course, the Ministry of Health is always trying. We're trying our hardest. We are going in as much media channels as we can. We're talking about TVs, radios, television, social media. But there's only so much we can do, and the reach sometimes that we get, we are trying to reach out as much as we can.
Yeah, what have been your challenges in reaching out to the people who really, really are involved or who are affected by this?
The thing is, normally, if let's just say that things are going on right now, patients who are having flood victims, patients who are actually already flood victims, they have electrical supply cut off, water cut off. So we can't actually get our message out there to them. What we can do is send personnel to help them. But in terms of the preparations beforehand, the thing is, we are on radio stations and TV channels and also on social media. But sometimes, no matter how much and how hard we try, we can't really... we can't reach everyone. We can reach maybe 9 people out of 10, but that one that is left out, we can't do anything about it.
I mean, 9 out of 10 is really good.
Yes, 9 out of 10 is really good. We like to think that we are doing, that we can reach out to people, you know, but it's, of course, an ongoing battle. There's a lot of other aspects to take into account because we don't only educate patients regarding chronic diseases. We also have educating patients based on enforcement materials such as counterfeit medicines, adulterated products. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of
What about medicine sharing? A lot of us love doing that.
Okay, now that is a very serious thing. Now, let's just say in terms of flood aspects, actually in any aspect at all, patients should not share their medicines. Because the thing is, every patient, the medical treatment is catered for them to their diseases, to their disease progression. You know, how bad are their diseases? So their medicines are going to be different. Their doses are going to be different. You know, so the thing is, it is very important that patients don't share their medicines because you may never know, you might be underdosing or overdosing your friend or your family member, and that can be, that is actually a very bad situation. It's a medication error, you know.
So no, don't go there.
No, don't go there, never go there.
Don't share your medicines.
Yes.
And after the flood recedes, what do people do?
Okay, so after the flood recedes, we will try to normal. I mean, the flood victims will actually go back to their, try to go back to their lifestyles. But of course, it's going to take some adjustment period. In terms of medication wise and disease wise, the patients can always, if let's just say they do not have their full supply of medications, they can always go to the clinics in the nearest to them. It doesn't have to be the original clinics. Mm-hmm. Go see the medical officer and he will prescribe you your medicines that you needed. If you have a prescription, that's even better, you know, so that we don't have to play the guessing game of what kind of medicines you're taking or what kind of diseases you have, because we have to diagnose you all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the people normally do. But that's what the thing is. But other aspects as well, we must take patients who actually go back to their houses, they must ensure that all types of possible diseases can be kept at bay. For example, vector-borne diseases, they need to make sure there's no puddle of water lying around the house where it can be breeding ground for mosquitoes. Rodent-borne diseases, when floods happen, a lot of the ecosystem has changed, the habitats have changed, rodents start going inside the house. So the handling of food must be proper. And also the thing is, we are not so sure whether the sewage system is repaired, the drainage system is repaired. So we do not know whether water contamination is there. So patients will have to ensure that the water is properly boiled, properly taken care of, and they must do those kind of things to ensure that their lives can go on as normal as they can go.
Okay, that's a tricky one, isn't
that's
it?
That's a tricky one. It's actually a lot of procedures involved. And I'm only speaking on the aspect of Ministry of Health, but there's so many other things that goes into actually going back to normal life for a patient.
How long does it take?
I can't really say. It's actually very subjective. It depends on each patient, actually.
Yeah. And how badly you've been affected by the floods, isn't it?
I'm almost... yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So where do we get more information on, you know, if you want to know more about the floods and preparation for it in terms of medicines and all of that? Is there a website?
Okay. So so the thing is, if you want to know more information regarding the floods, okay, the best... If websites, there will be the Ministry of Health website. There will also be the pharmacy.gov.my website. There's also a call line to us regarding medications, okay, which is called the National Pharmacy Call Center. That's 1-800-886-722. Also, the thing is, regarding the flood, whether your area is going to be affected by flood, whether your area is prone to flooding and those kind of information, it's better to ask the health districts of each state. Even the health facilities also can provide that kind of information. All they have to do is just go and approach them or even give them a call. Those are the ways.
Okay, be prepared for it. 1-800-886-722.
Yeah, and that is National Pharmacy Call Center. So regarding medications only.
Only medications. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us today. That was Hegar Jeevan Karuna, Senior Assistant Director at the Pharmaceutical Services Program, Ministry of Health Malaysia, speaking to us about flood preparations in terms of medicines. We don't usually talk about that. We're always talking about, you know, be prepared, move to higher ground, you know, get your things, valuable stuff ready. And you know what? Now I know your medication, especially if you have a chronic disease, is crucial
yes.
to be a part of that kit that you take and run together with your passport and IC, I suppose.
Yes. Don't forget your medical records, especially your prescription.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Medical records, medicines. Yeah. Okay. And the works.
Yes, the works. I mean, health is very important.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us. This is The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.